I mean, are there people out there who just like skim the surface of life? Like, I'm not. That's not even a criticism. Like, yeah. I would love that for myself if I didn't overthink interactions. And yeah. I'm just like, hello and welcome to Revel, a collection of Realm's comedies, dramedies, and rom-com oddities. My name is Rhoda. I'm a producer at Realm.
And I'm Pia Wilson. And I wrote If I Go Missing, Witches Did It.
Stay tuned after the episode for more discussion between me and Pia.
Stay tuned!
Here is episode 6 of If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It. We'll be back just after this.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Log, July 22nd. This evening, we went into town to go to the opening of La Verdad, a Spanish bar restaurant partly owned by Victor's old rowing teammate, Felipe, aka Fel Carlos. This was my first time out of the house since the tree incident. I kind of loved Fel the second I met him. He's handsome, but not so handsome that you roll your eyes when he tells you you're beautiful. He's generous and kind. He made me feel like my high school Spanish would get me through dinner with the King of Spain, who I found out later was a not-so-distant relative of his.
I'm hoping to see more of you two when I return to Manhattan early next year.
He had brought us to the kitchen for some alone time.
Most definitely. You're going to get tired of seeing Jenna and me.
I like that Victor was confident enough to mention us being together that far in the future. The crowd was starting to swell in the restaurant, and Fel had to return to the front. He asked us to come with him. Victor wanted to go. I was secretly worried about seeing the influencer covered in the crowd.
I don't feel like having my picture up on other people's Instagrams.
Oh, this crowd doesn't do that. I have a social media event planned for next week. I have to bring in different lighting to accommodate them. Oi. How can you have a good party with a snap in your face all the time? My friends are from the old families. They have been places. They don't need to prove it to the rest of the world.
He kissed me on both cheeks and hooked his arm around Victor's, like a human high tide pulling Victor out into the sea of people in the main dining room. I went out to the back patio where there were a few smokers chatting in pairs. I was feeling a buzz from the scotch we'd been drinking. Life felt so easy. Looking up at the stars, I whispered a wish. Starlight, star bright, shiny stars twinkling tonight. I wish you would, I wish you might, give this gift I ask tonight. I wish to have my own magical powers, and I wish I were as powerful as the influencer coven. And I really wish I could be as comfortable in my skin as Fel and everybody in this damn town. Please make me as good at being a human being as I am at writing.
I don't think you're supposed to make more than one wish on a star.
Thank you.
Realm presents If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It, Episode 6.
I turned around and it was a woman with wavy, light brown hair down to her waist. She had a pretty face with apple cheeks that she highlighted with a dusty rose blush. When she lit her cigarette, the match put a glow on her face. I couldn't tell if her skin was deeply tanned or naturally light brown. She introduced herself as Divine, and I didn't have any doubts that she was. She hung her cigarette in one of the corners of her mouth and pulled an ornately wrought metal handle with a magnifying glass attached to the end out of her pocket. She held out her left hand.
Fell asked me to come and read palms. Might as well start with you.
She studied my palm under the glass. When she finished, I felt like I was at the doctor's office, waiting to find out if I had cancer or something. I relaxed when she finished taking a couple puffs from her cigarette and smiled.
Ooh, you've got a lot of mystic crosses between your head and heart lines. Most are faint, but a couple of prominent ones. If you haven't been to my metaphysical store, the 13th house, you should go. You'd feel right at home.
Nice plug for her store. It was subtle enough that I didn't feel like I needed to take a shower after. I told her I have been, and that it's very nice. She didn't seem to care and went on with her reading.
It looks like you've had many lifetimes, and that you have karmic ties here in Bedford.
I went for an astrogeography reading just before I came here, and the lady told me that this area is one of my power centers. This didn't surprise Divine. She said I had a mystic's hand.
You see a secret world. Things that other people would dismiss as the trick of any eye. You can see it in detail. You should think about taking a mediumship course or getting a book on it. That way, you'll learn how to interact with the spirits you meet.
Colonial Jenna came to mind. Was she not saying anything to me because I didn't know how to talk to her, or was there another reason? I had to sit down. Here was someone I could talk to, someone who could understand what I'm going through. I felt like crying with relief. Do you believe in witches? Divine said she did, showing me the cauldron tattoo on the back of her left shoulder. Not like the witchcraft in movies or anything like that. Modern witches who practice real magic.
Well, magic belongs to the subtle world, which we've already established you can see. Wish I could say I've seen something more magical than Wiccan performance art. Jeez.
I helped her set up her table in the corner of the patio after she said Fel would kill her if she didn't start seeing more people right away. She pulled out a henna pin and started drawing a few symbols on her hands.
People expect it.
When she started dishing about some of the other people at the party, people I didn't know, I asked her if she knew Carmen Silva.
Oh yeah, she's bought so many things in my shop that I was able to buy this ring from Cartier. Hey, you wanna talk about magic? Carmen's business was going nowhere just a couple of years ago. Now she has an empire. If she's not a witch, who is?
She is, and she's not the only one. Divine's lips curled into a smile.
Who else? Brooke? She and Carmen are inseparable.
Yes, Brooke.
It was either witch or serial killer with that bitch.
I cackled, so relieved to finally be able to talk shit and not get judged or analyzed after. And with somebody who wasn't fooled by the witch's fake personas.
Girl, you are serving me the tea of the decade. Spill! Who else?
When she said spill, it felt like a command. Like I had been slipped some kind of truth serum. I noticed Divine had drawn a little mouth in the crook of her hand between the thumb and the first finger. When she opened and closed the hand mouth, I was compelled to speak. Mommy Megan and Belinda Beckett, I said, covering my mouth after.
BB, I can believe. Mommy Megan, though, that's a stretch.
Divine said, moving the hand mouth again. It's true. I'm going to write a book about them. Not their magic, but how they're evil bitches instead of the angels they pretend to be. I said, standing and backing away from her. I ran back into the restaurant, a sense of dread taking over my whole body. I trusted the wrong person.
My big mouth is why the coven wanted me out of town, and now I fully expect them to really come after me. Fuck!
I quit, Sylvania.
Those are the most empowering words I've ever spoken in my life. Sylvania thought I'd return to Manhattan with my tail between my legs to take the worst assignments she could give me while I was on so-called probation. No, madame. Here I am, a week later, ready to follow my passion. Sabine and Dad took it well, really well. I didn't want them to hear the news from someone else. I positioned it to my father as striking out on my own to build a competitive enterprise. He liked that. Why should our family name be used to line someone else's pocket? Sabine took her cue from him, though she couldn't resist saying that she hoped I would have more time now to find a decent man to marry and give her grandchildren. She said it in French, so it would sound nicer than it was. I'm devoting my first series to finding Jenna. Listening to the playback of the first episode, I'm not crazy about how high my voice is, especially in comparison to Jenna's creamy alto. So I try again.
Hey everyone, this is Elise Edgerton here. Welcome to the first edition of my new podcast, Tea Sip. You were just listening to the voice of aspiring nonfiction writer, Jenna Clayton. Police haven't taken Jenna's disappearance seriously. They say that Jenna's public outbursts in August, we'll address those outbursts in subsequent episodes, have led them to believe that Jenna may have left town out of sheer embarrassment, and that she's not missing at all. I don't believe that, and after I show you all the evidence I have, you won't either.
Yeah, that's not good. I'm going to have to rewrite that intro. Note to self, get a lawyer to see if I can actually play Jenna's private recordings on the air without her permission. Fast forward.
In the recordings, it seems like Jenna was planning to do an exposé on the four grand dames of Westchester High Society. Influencers Brooke Gates, Mommy Megan, Carmen Silva, and Belinda Beckett have millions of followers between them. Their lives have always seemed so perfect. They come across as people you'd want to hang out with. But the reality is that they couldn't care less about social media commoners like us. Jenna set out to prove just how phony these women are and how they take away from society, making the rest of us dissatisfied with our own lives. A worthy cause, don't you think? I think so. Was Jenna's exposé enough of a motive for the women to have made her disappear? Maybe. Surely shattering their public images would hurt their businesses. Jenna was going to hit hard. I haven't gotten through all of Jenna's recordings yet, but over the next few days, I will. I am also cross-referencing social media and blog posts about the various run-ins Jenna had with Brooke, Mommy Megan, Carmen, and Bibi. And if any of those ladies are listening, it's too late to start deleting posts and DMs. Screenshots have already been taken.
That's decent. But it probably won't make the cut either. Maybe a better microphone will help. Maybe a real studio versus this makeshift home studio. Ugh. I don't want to squander my father's investment in my company, but if I don't start right, is it worth starting at all?
My ultimate hope is that Jenna surfaces before I finish this special series. Honestly, I want a happy ending. I want Victor to be happy. I want Jenna to set the record straight on what Brooke, Megan, Carmen, and Bibi are really like behind their public images.
It's not a strong finish. But it is a dangerous one. No risk, no reward. If I'm smart about exposing these witches like Jenna wanted to, I could make a name for myself. I wonder how Victor is doing in that house all by himself. The witches seem to be leaving him alone since Jenna disappeared. Maybe that's why she left. I left to save my own ass. But I will repent for my cowardice with this new podcast. Yes. Victor will be so surprised when he hears it, but I think he'll be supportive. When I left, our friendship was back on solid ground, I think. He thinks someone put something in my drink at the auction, so. Oh, that reminds me. I need to send Victor a thank you gift for letting me stay in his home and for dropping me off at the train station. I almost text him to tell him what a sweetheart he is, but I resist. I need to focus on real opportunities for love here in Manhattan. Victor is in love with Jenna. I'm pretty sure of that. And look at that coincidence. A text from Thomas Martin confirming our date in a few hours. Well, he's no Victor, but I gotta start somewhere.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Log, July 25th. When I heard something out back, I rushed downstairs to the porch with a bat in my hand. Victor was in town getting some bagels, and he wouldn't have been back by then.
I had been on edge about the witch bitches ever since I opened my mouth to Divine. I prayed they hadn't vandalized the house or anything. I was relieved for a second when I saw everything in place, nothing wrong with the paint. For a second. Then I saw a little coffin laying in the grass right by the porch steps. It was painted black, 3 or 4 inches long. If these had been regular assholes, I would have put it on a charm bracelet. These witch bitches were threatening my life. I stared at it and cried for like 10 minutes. I wanted to call Victor, but what was I gonna say? I had to woman up. I held my breath as I picked the coffin up. But the top came off and a little rag doll with my name pinned on it spilled out. The doll had black wax and some kind of powder on it. I ugly sobbed as I ripped my name off the doll. Some of the powder got on my clothes. I scooped it all up and ran around to the backyard. I dumped the gardening tools out of the metal wash tub back there and threw the doll and the coffin in it. I fumbled for a lighter on the barbecue and set it all on fire. All of it. I burned the clothes too. I stood there naked, watching the flames eat everything up. The paper with my name on it curled in the heat, and on the back, I saw there was a curse directed towards me and my book. The curse was that neither I nor the recordings would amount to anything. When Victor came back home, he was not happy about me burning the coffin and doll in the metal wash tub. He said I could have burned the whole house down. I couldn't have. Victor, they're witches. Believe me or not, I don't care. They're witches and I'm tired. It was true. I had zero fucks to give anymore. He didn't believe me. I reminded him that he has big memory gaps. He said that was because he's been smoking too much weed. Listen to me. I have been doing everything in my power to protect you. I just don't have a lot of power. Victor put his hand over his heart.
Babe, you are the most powerful woman I know.
He thought I was out of my gourd, but he was touched at the same time. Maybe if we separate, these witch bitches will leave you alone.
No, babe. We're stronger together.
He really has no clue what's going on. And how would he? He never had to develop a sense of danger. He has no natural predators. He pulled me into his arms. I didn't know if he would be better off if I stayed here or if I went.
The witches were really escalating their offense, and there's four of them against one of me.
Notice to Cease and Desist podcast featuring Jenna Clayton. Dear Elise Edgerton, this letter is served due to your development of a podcast series about the alleged disappearance of Jenna Clayton. If you do not cease the development of said podcast, a lawsuit will be filed against you. We are also prepared to seek a temporary restraining order against you and any accomplices in this matter. While we hope this recourse will not be necessary, we have our own interests to protect and will do so vigorously. You will not receive another warning, the letter read. At least the part I had the heart to read. It came from a law firm representing Victor and Jenna's mother. I couldn't put my father in legal jeopardy as partner in my new company, and I couldn't just give up on my new direction in life. Now that I'm standing on Victor's porch in Bedford, I'm starting to regret my passionate impulsivity. I could have sent him an email, you know? I should go back to Manhattan. No, Elise, stand your ground.
What are you doing here, Elise?
Channel Jenna. What in the actual fuck, Victor? I slap the cease and desist letter into his chest and push my way into the house. I feel like the heroine in a movie. And then I hear Jenna's voice. And my heart stops. Did she come back? Oh no. I mean, yay! But shit. Victor walks into the kitchen and Jenna stops mid-sentence. Thank God. He says he's been listening to her recordings for the last few days. After I sent him the first episode of T-Sip, I can see dark circles under his baby blues, and I just want to hug him. I'm so sorry, Victor. Not exactly sure why. He sits down and puts his head in his hands.
She just sounds so out there, you know? I can't let her mother hear these. I can't let anybody hear these. I'm going to find her and get her some help.
Oh, he still loves her.
When Brooke and those guys came over, I didn't leave to get hot sauce. I was there the whole time. We had a nice brunch, I remember.
I believe you, Victor. And because it's a pet peeve, I add, and they're women, not guys. Brooke and the other women.
If you go look at the metal wash tub, it looks brand new. Nothing was burned back there. She said they were witches, but I didn't think she was serious. And all this about a colonial version of herself? She sounds completely out of her mind. I didn't think I was so oblivious that I wouldn't notice my girlfriend having a full-on nervous breakdown.
What if she's doing a Blair Witch type thing? What if she's crossing over into fiction and she's building a story around her story?
No, she would have let me in on something like that.
But I can tell he's thinking whether it might be true. I can't tell him that I believe in witches now, too. He's been devastated enough today.
Log, July 25th. I went to the 13th house.
I peeked inside first to see if Divine was there. It was just the clerk. I went in quickly to look at some spell books. I had gone to the library and there was nothing. I picked up a hefty book with 5,000 spells in it. It was an encyclopedia of magic from around the world. While I looked through the book, Divine snuck up on me. I dropped the book on my foot when she said,
"You should really be more careful.
Words can definitely hurt you when they gang up in a heavy book."
I noticed the unpainted small coffins newly on display. This bitch sold the other bitches the coffin for their spell against me. Divine chuckled when she followed my eyes. The only curse I could remember in the moment was the one Seeley says to Mister in the movie version of The Color Purple. "I curse you, and until you do right by me, everything you even think about is going to crumble." Both Divine and the clerk laughed until they were short of breath and holding their sides. At first, I felt humiliated. But then, I saw that they couldn't stop laughing. The clerk couldn't catch her breath and started to turn blue. Divine eked out a "please." Terrified by how far I'd gone, I screamed, "My curse is broken, I take it back. My curse is broken, I take it back." Divine held up a finger, one. They still couldn't breathe. Divine gasped again and said,
"Again."
I remembered, three is a magic number. "My curse is broken, I take it back." When I heard them sucking air into their lungs, like a drowned person who just got out of the water, I ran out of the store without the book. It was clear I didn't need it. My intuition kicked in and gave me what I needed. I just had to figure out how to control my terrifying new power with intention. When I approached the house, I saw Victor standing on the porch. I thought he'd somehow heard about what happened at the metaphysical shop. He looked so pale in the moonlight. The closer I got, though, the more I realized it wasn't Victor.
It was Great Uncle Felix, looking just like he did in the painting inside.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Rhoda Baeza, and I'm here with Pia Wilson, the writer of If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It. And I am so excited to chat about this episode. Episode 6. Let's get into it. I really, really love the character of Elise. Could you tell me a little bit more about the inspiration behind her anxiety? She's really relatable and also just, you don't want to be like her at all. And I'm wondering where she came from and what your deal was when you were writing her.
I remember one point earlier in the pandemic, and I had seen a video of Beyonce, right? Like standing against her wall, just talking to people, trying to keep them cool and everything. And I remember thinking, that's not Beyonce. That's someone else. And then I was like, okay, Wilson, God get a damn. Hold of yourself because you're having a breakdown.
God damn, that's right? Profound.
I was like, Beyonce is Beyonce. Get yourself together. And so, like, I feel like Elise is a little bit of that, like, constant chatter, you know, in her head. And that's what I used to do all the time. Criticizing yourself, you know, like chatting, be like, oh no, what did I just say? Did I just say something that's weird? And that's Elise.
Yeah.
All the time. Just saying the wrong thing. And so,
like, it's pretty tortured, honestly.
I feel
such, that's why she's such a joy to listen to and
exactly.
read.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because I think people do that a lot anyway, right? I hope. I mean, I'm a P people that don't, it's like...
Wait, you think you're alone? And like, this kind of like... I mean, are there people out there who just like skim the surface of life? Like, that's not even a criticism. Like, yeah. I would love that for myself if I didn't overthink interactions and yeah. I'm just like kind of... I mean, Elise is really one of my favorites. And the actress who played her, Serenetta Cheney, did such an incredible job. Did you know that she's Ash Ketchum's voice? I mean, it just blew my mind. When we met her in the first episode, I just couldn't get enough. And I thought she was just pitch perfect. Like, Elise is such a wildly sympathetic character. When you put her on the board, you think that she's, like, immediately going to be somebody that you don't like, right?
Right.
Because she's, like, annoying. She's a white savior.
She's
kind of, like, academically overly woke, you know? There's just, like, all these very annoying things about her. And her voice is, like, annoying by design, right? Sarah's an incredible actress. So, like, you know, that's not a criticism. But she ends up being someone who you, like, really empathize with because of that compulsion and anxiety.
Right.
And then also, you know, because she's, like, actually trying to do, like, there's an optimism to her that I really love, you know?
And, you know, like, she has such a wild crush on somebody who doesn't know she exists really. You know, he's just nice to everybody, but she has this intense crush on Victor. And I think that's sweet, too. Like, I think that's something everybody can relate to.
Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah, yes. So, like, everyone can relate to a crush, but Elise's entry point into the crush is a little, it's very Elise, but we'll say that. Well, anyway, thank you as always for chatting with us, Pia. It's been great. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to Revel. We'll see you next time. If you've enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate, review, and share it with friends. You can listen ad-free by joining Realm Unlimited at realm.fm or Realm Plus on Apple Podcasts. You can also find more shows like this one by following Realm on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or at realm.fm.
Revel is produced by Nicole Kreuter and Kaylin West. Associate produced by Devin Shepherd. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Audio editing by Kaylin West and Sam Bagala. Theme music by Hashem Asadollahi, featuring performances by Hashem Asadollahi, Josiah Lamb, Alan Ferber, and Mike Forzano. Theme music mixed by Justin Morell. Cover art by Jenny Cheng. This season of Revel is hosted by Rhoda Baeza and Pia Wilson. You're listening to Revel, If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It. Created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.
If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It is a Realm original production, created and written by Pia Wilson. Produced by Rhoda Baeza and Haley Wagreich. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Directed by Amanda Rose Smith and Kaylin West. Starring Gabourey Sidibe, Sarah Natacheny, Aaron Landon, Len Klingeman, Tony D, Alba Ponce de Leon, Tiana Camacho, Jordan Bielski, Eli Gonzalez, and Andrew Lee. Sound design, mixing, and mastering by Fred Greenhalgh. Additional editing by Corey Barton. Theme music by Hashem Asadollahi and Andrew Rowan. Cover art by Kendall Thomas. executive in charge for Realm, Mary Osadolahi.